As a new student arriving at Cornell, we hope you'll take a moment to notice in College Town a large marble building with banners along the side. That's the Schwartz Center for the Performing Arts, and that's where I work. Hello, and welcome. My name is David Felshew. I'm the artistic director of the Schwartz Center and the director of our production of Antigone, a production that I hope you'll come to see next September. Now I'd like to spend a few minutes talking with you about my approach to directing this remarkable play. If we look in the design studio at the Schwartz Center, we'll see models for many other productions that we have done here. The goal of each of these productions is to create a world that tells the story of the play. So the first question that I have to ask myself as director is, what is the story? How can I tell it? And whose story is it? Antigone could be a story of a tyrant king crushing an innocent young girl. Or it could be the story of an obsessed revolutionary driving a war-torn society toward anarchy because she thinks she is above the law. Or it could be two flawed personalities, each believing in their own higher purpose. Like a conductor, a director must find different elements in a play and bring them out, highlight them. The director must have a point of view. The playwright Anouilh said, "The goal of art is to give life a shape." That's the job of the director as well. A second question that the director must ask himself is, what excites you about this play? And what excites me about Antigone is the resonance of the themes that are explored in the play. I was looking at the newspaper the other day, and I found a number of articles and headlines that talk about the conflict between passionate belief and the law. Here's a quote I found. "My country, right or wrong, when right, to be kept right, when wrong, to be put right." Now that's a call for activism, for civil disobedience. But on the same page, I also found this headline. "Two men with dynamite arrested near bridge in Detroit." Where does civil disobedience for a just cause turn into fanaticism? The battle between man's law and God's law, the call to a higher morality. These are themes that are intrinsic to society and to civilization. These are themes that are deeply embedded in Antigone. I'm also excited by the sheer theatricality of the play. If you imagine the Greek theater 2,500 years ago in the early morning, filled with spectators seeking answers, that production was filled with an intensity, a ritualistic, heightened experience. That's the challenge that faces us, to create for you the same type of excitement. So now let's go see some elements of our production in our light lab. Here we are in the light lab, a place where we can experiment with various lights and their configuration and intensity and color. As I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, one of the most important challenges for a director is to create a world, and there is nothing more essential to this world than the set. This is our set for Antigone, created by Professor Kent Getz. This model holds various elements that make this approach unique. First, you will notice that this is not a realistic set. There is not, for example, a palace. Rather, this is a set that takes place in a post-apocalyptic world. A war has occurred, and this is what's left. There are these walls. These are huge walls of concrete with the rebar showing where bombs have injured them. Around the outside of the set is this frieze that's touched with the red of blood. Before all of this, actors who have survived this war will perform a ritual, the ritual of telling the story of Antigone. There are these pots that will be used to help perform this ritual. There are these seeming pickup sticks that will also be part of the ritual. What may not be obvious is that each of these are 16 feet long. They have been burned to ash color. They have been stripped of their leaves and branches. And these sticks can be moved in different ways by the actors to create different configurations on the stage and above the stage. This allows us to change the geography of the playing as we move through the play. Equally important, if you look above at the top of this set, is this large drum that's almost like a sun. And next to that drum will be our musicians. I spoke of the importance of theatricality to our production. Nothing can add to theatricality more than music. Antigone has 6 choruses, but there are also opportunities to have other music, other singing. For example, Antigone and Ismene, at the beginning of the play, talk to each other about their tragedy, the loss of their brothers in a war the previous evening against the armies of Argos. Antigone says, "I need to speak with you in private." This interaction has been changed to a song. And the song, the lyrics for that song, are as follows. Yesterday was ripe with death. Our brothers fought, now both lie dead. The dark of night was filled with shouts of war. The rebels fled to Argos. Today is fresh, no news, yes, some. The shadows of your face are cracked with pain. Then tell me what I must now hear. I will, in secret. The music that you heard underneath this song was by Andy Wagner, our composer. Music is very, very important to our production, and so are costumes. Costumes make a vital contribution to the world of the play. As I mentioned to you, we are trying for something different from a realistic production. There's no palace, for example, on stage. Well, our costumes aren't the typical Greek costumes. If you look in the inset, you'll see an example of a typical Greek costume. We wanted something that created a different kind of tension. And so what we did is we went to Afghanistan for our inspiration. And you'll see in the inset some of the pictures that first inspired us. You will note that it's a combination of an ancient costume and a contemporary costume. And that's what we have here. These costumes are prototypes. They're not what you'll see on stage because they're not beat up yet. They haven't been put through the washing machine. Rocks haven't been put in the pockets here. These are all ways that we can get costumes to become shredded and worn and look as if they've gone through a war. Nonetheless, you can see these Western elements and then this element that's more suggestive of Afghanistan or the Middle East. An important element is to create the ambiguity, the tug between East and West, between primitive and modern. This suggests a society that is in flux, a society that is faced with various tensions, similar, I think, to the society of Antigone. Now, a final element that will go far in creating theatricality for this production is the element of masks. If you look at the inset, you'll see a typical Greek mask. What purpose did the mask serve in Greek theater? Well, there are many purposes. I'd like to relate a few of them to you. First, all the roles, the main roles, were played by 3 male actors, so they had to change masks in order to play a different character. Some suggest that the actors wore the mask in order to protect them, that they might be playing a role that would be unpopular. Others suggest that the mask also served to convey the facial expression in this large Greek theater, and that the mouth served as a megaphone, and the eyes gave a sense of watching the tragedy unfold. It is also said that the masks helped the audience understand that the actors were enacting a story, not simply telling it. Masks have continued in the theater right up until today. And if you look at some of these magnificent masks by the director and designer Julie Taymor, you'll see what I'm talking about. What else does the mask do for us? It gives us permission and in a way forces us as actors to use our whole body. It demands stillness and balance. Now, one of the questions that we had was how we would deal with the eyes and the mouth in our masks. And these, again, are prototypes. They're created by Norm Johnson, who will be doing the masks for our production. I'd like to show you a couple of things about this mask in particular. First, we're trying to find how this mask could be affected by war. And you'll see there are slits and scars in this mask. Secondly was the question of what is the most useful kind of mask. In Greek theater, it's a full face mask. We found that that was a terrific mask for silence. But when the actor needed to speak, we needed to take away the bottom of the mask so the mouth would show, both for clarity and also to create a certain dynamic feeling in the mask. The mask also contributes to the theatricality that we're searching for. For example, we can talk in this mask, and then when a character dies, the character can put on a full face mask. Creon, when he's talking to his dead son, or to Antigone, or his dead wife, will be talking to their masks. Masks allowed the Greek actor to approach the truth. I hope that I've been able to give you a sense of the decisions that go into the process of creating a production. Our aim is heightened theatricality by using the text and music, by using elements of primitive and contemporary costume, a post-war set, music, masks. It's a world, as Tiresias says in Antigone, that's on the razor's edge. I also want to take a moment to thank all the people who have and will contribute to this production and who have helped me today to share this information with you. Welcome to Cornell.